Welcome to our podcast, Carefully Examining the Text. And the podcast today covers Psalm 108. And let's begin by reading these words. A song, a psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing praises, even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. That your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand, and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exalt, I will portion out Shechem, and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet of my head, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbowl, over Edom I will throw my shoe, over Philistia I will shout aloud. Who will bring me into the besieged city? And who will lead me to Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go out with our armies, O God? And give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly, and it is He who will tread down our adversaries. One interesting thing about Psalm 108 is it's actually a composite of a couple of psalms, we've already studied. Psalm 108, verses 1 through 5, picks up from Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11. And Psalm 108, verses 6 through 13, takes the words of Psalm 60, verses 5 through 12. There are 13 psalms that are tied to specific historical circumstances in the life of David, and two of them are Psalm 57 and Psalm 60. So it's interesting that these two psalms from David's time are taken and combined here in another psalm of David. Psalm 57 celebrated God's deliverance of David from Saul, but it talked about David being chased by Saul, being chased into a cave. In Psalm 57, the first few verses, which are omitted here, Psalm 57, David poured out his distress. His soul was among lions, he stated in Psalm 57 in verse 4. In Psalm 60, in verses 1 through 4, it appears as a national lament. But the parts that express the distress most strongly in Psalm 57, in Psalm 60, are omitted in Psalm 108, giving us a more positive psalm that celebrates God's deliverance. There are some points of lament, as you see in verse 11. But generally, this psalm celebrates God's deliverance and God's salvation. But the writer says, my heart is steadfast, O God. How is his heart steadfast? In his determination to sing praises to God, to sing praises to God with the harp and the lyre. And he says in verse 2, I will awaken the dawn. I think the idea is that he gets up at dawn to praise God, and his determination is steadfast. He will sing praises with all his soul. In the song, Holy, 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 there is the line, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. The idea is getting up the first thing of the morning to praise God, to exalt God. And the psalmist has this kind of attitude. He says in verse 3, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Giving thanks to God was a key element of Psalm 107, mentioned in verse 1, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. There's a reason for this psalm appearing next to Psalm 107. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. He's going to extol God's greatness among all peoples and nations. He is not keeping his faith in the Lord to himself, but he is sharing it with all peoples and all nations. And particularly in verse 4, he's going to celebrate God's loving kindness and God's truth, or God's steadfast love and his faithfulness. But often these qualities are linked in the psalm. God's loving kindness, God's truth. In Psalm 89, this psalm used both of these words, loving kindness and truth, or steadfast love and faithfulness. It uses both of these terms seven times. But he's going to give thanks to God because God's loving kindness and God's truth is above the heavens and reaches to the sky. There is no way to adequately express God's loving kindness and God's faithfulness. There's no way to adequately express it. It reaches to the highest heights. In Ephesians 3, in verse 19, we read that it reaches to the highest heights and the deepest depths. There is no way to measure the loving kindness and faithfulness of God. And verse 5 says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above the earth. Now that phrase in verse 5, that's the only time it appears in Psalm 108. In Psalm 57, that phrase appears twice. It appears both in verse 5 and in verse 11 of Psalm 57. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. God's loving kindness and truth reach to the heavens, reach the sky, and he calls God, be exalted above the heavens. In verse 6, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer me. You remember in the song that Moses, that was sang in Exodus 15, verse 6 and verse 12, there was emphasis on God's right hand saving the people from Egyptian slavery. And here the people are going to experience another Exodus. I think it's interesting that Psalm 108, placed where it is in connection to Psalm 107, repeating some of the same words. The word loving kindness, remember, was used in Psalm 107, verse 1 and verse 43, and four other times throughout the psalm. But it's interesting that David's experience in being delivered from Saul and David's experience in defeating the nations proclaim God's loving kindness and truth. And they foreshadow the deliverance of the people from Babylonian captivity, as the placement after Psalm 107 indicates. In verse 7, God has spoken in his holiness, I will exalt, I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Shechem is a city west of the Jordan, Succoth to the east. Both of these regions are the Lord's, they're Yahweh's. Gilead is mine, the region east of the Jordan that had been controlled by Sihon and Og. Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is the helmet of my head. Manasseh and Ephraim, the leading tribes of the northern tribes of Israel, and Judah is my scepter. Ephraim, my helmet, Judah, my scepter. God is king, and these peoples are his helmet and his scepter. So God rules all the cities of Israel and Judah, west and east of the Jordan, and God rules all the regions, and God rules all the nations around them. In verse 9, Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I throw my shoe. Over Philistia I shout aloud. Remember, God told Israel that wherever your sandal treads, I will give it to you. Deuteronomy 11 in verse 24. It may be this language, over Edom I will throw my shoe, just means that it's God's. He controls it. It belongs to him. And he's going to shout over Philistia. Now, David fought and conquered all these regions in 2 Samuel chapter 8, in 1 Chronicles chapter 18, and his victories were proof of God's loving kindness reaching above the heavens and his truth reaching to the skies. Pondering these victories needs to lead us to shout, "Be exalted, O Lord, above the heavens." But in this psalm, he asks a question in verse 10. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me to Edom? Notice the mention of Edom in verse 9 and in verse 10. It is kind of the quintessential enemy of the people of God. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me into Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our armies, O God? O give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is vain. Salvation is only from the Lord. David's victories in conflict were only from the Lord. It ultimately wasn't because his army was more powerful. It wasn't ultimately because he was a better general. It was from the hand of God. And unless God went out with the armies, defeat was inevitable. In Numbers 14, the people decided to go up and take the land of Canaan after they had rejected the good land that God had given them, and said, "Let's go back to Egypt." And there in Numbers 14, Moses warned them, "You better not go up. I'm not going up with you. The Ark of the Covenant is not going up with you. And most importantly, the Lord is not going up with you." The people didn't listen. They went up anyway, and they were soundly defeated. Numbers 14, verses 39 through 45. Will you not go forth with our armies? Give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our adversaries. The words of Scripture are always greater than we are. But I hope those couple of thoughts help us get a context on reading Psalm 108. How does Psalm 108 foreshadow Jesus? How does it tell us of him? Notice that he speaks of Judah being his scepter in verse 8. Remember in the promises of Jacob in Genesis 49 in verse 10, he said a very similar thing. Judah was promised a position of leadership. And remember, Jesus sprang from the tribe of Judah, Hebrews 7 and verse 14. The leadership of David and the tribe of Judah foreshadowed the greater leadership of Jesus. That's one way Psalm 108 speaks of Jesus. But consider this. In verse 5, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens." The word that's used there, "be exalted, O God," in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the main Greek translation of the Old Testament, the term used was the same term used in John 3:14 in John 8:28, in John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth. And that was speaking of the way that Jesus would die. If I be lifted up. God was exalted in the cross of Christ. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. This was done in the cross. And the cross is a salvation the Lord alone can bring. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is salvation of man, as verse 12 stated. In Jeremiah 17, remember verses 5 through 8, contrast, trust in man, versus trust in the Lord. The Lord is the only means of salvation, and this is demonstrated preeminently in the cross. The cross is a salvation that only the Lord can bring. Our sins were a barrier between us and God, and our sins arose as a dark cloud. Only God, through the cross, could defeat the enemies of sin and death. It is a salvation the Lord alone can bring, as Psalm 108, verse 6 and verse 12 emphasize. And Psalm 108, verse 4, talks about God's loving kindness or steadfast love being above the heavens and His faithfulness reaching to the clouds. Again, the cross is the most dramatic illustration of this. As all the Psalms, these Psalms speak of Him. To Him be all the glory. And we close by quoting verse 5, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Amen.